Well, let me start with this one. I have a question that takes some explaining to understand. Please read the attached pages. I hope my writing helps you understand that the question isn't about believers engaging in ungodly things, but rather two closely held beliefs that seem to conflict. Many preachers will correctly state that the Bible says Christians are to obey them that have the rule over you, and that all in positions of governmental authority have been given that authority by God, regardless of their spiritual condition, even if they're unsaved. They will also state that in instances where God commands conflict with governmental or man-made laws, Christians are to obey God. This is not in itself confusing or hard to understand. It is not even difficult to discern when these instances occur in an individual's life. However, there is a closely related subject I have heard several preachers speak about that seem in conflict with the above idea. It is a question for which I have searched and not yet found a definitive answer. These United States of America are founded on the premise that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Americans that understand the meaning of these phrases, including many preachers, truly believe that God has endowed us with liberty, the freedom to make our own choices and enjoy or suffer the consequences of those choices. The Bible speaks of our Christian liberties and the free will God has given us to choose to follow Him or not. Now the problem. As Americans, we have a strong belief that we are free to make choices. Christians, hopefully, make these choices based on God's Word, prayerful consideration, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, these Christians will state, in this country, people have the freedom to make their own choices, decisions, whether right or wrong, and I would give my life to defend that right. Now consider the choices or issues about which our country is in conflict. Teaching evolution in schools, abortion, gambling, religious freedoms, etc. Christians have very clear answers to these questions, and decisions in these areas are no-brainers to us. However, if we truly believe that all citizens of this country have the right to make their own choices, whether godly or not, how can we seek to limit the rights of others through lobbyists and legislators? Should we not fight to maintain the right of choice rather than the elimination of choice? To be clear, my decisions in these areas are as follows. Number one, evolution. I believe this is a wicked religion that has drawn many millions from God. I therefore choose to homeschool my children and teach them the truth from the Bible. Should creation be taught in schools? Yes. Should the teaching of evolution be eliminated? If so, wouldn't that be a limitation of choice and liberty? Number two, abortion. A horrible tragedy, an affront to God, the giver of life, that occurs on a huge scale every day. I would never allow such a thing in my family, would encourage others never to consider it. It is murder. It will bring the judgment of God in our country. I believe it already has and will continue to do so. Should that choice be eliminated? Do we believe that God has given everyone free will to follow Him or not follow Him? Number three, gambling. In short, I believe this is nothing more than a way for casinos to steal money from their patrons. It creates social ills. It causes some to forsake their families. I will not be involved with it. But should we fight to prevent casinos from being constructed? Do people in this country have the right, given by God, to conduct themselves how they wish within the bounds of law? Number four, religious freedoms. The reason we can worship and serve God as freely as we can, a blessing we should thank God for every day, is that our founding fathers established freedom of religion. This is where I think Christianity is losing ground today. But don't we need to be careful to fight to maintain our liberty and not to limit those of others? If we want to display the Ten Commandments in public buildings, then shouldn't other groups have the right, every right to display portions of their scripture or religion, even though they are in error. I'm not sure being involved in the fight to limit others' non-Christian rights to make their own decisions is the right thing to do. That is in conflict with my belief in the inalienable right of one's liberty. So, while I'm sure you understand my decisions, the question I struggle with is whether Christians should pursue the elimination of choice for others through legislation. We should preach the truth, I understand, trying to influence others using the Word of God. But if we are willing to die for the right of liberty, then how can we fight to eliminate the same right of others, particularly non-believers, just because we believe it to be truth and they reject it as truth? I go back to the free will that God gave us to follow Him or not. There are certainly consequences for not doing so, and Christians should work to persuade non-believers to follow God. But should we actively work to eliminate freedoms that we believe are wrong? God gave the law to the Israelites, His people. Were non-Israelites subject to the same laws? In today's dispensation, we say we are not under the law. It was given to Israel. Many of the same commands were repeated in the New Testament. But weren't those commandments given to believers? Anyone, saved or not, will answer for their choices, but they do have a choice. Should believers fight against them having their choices? I would appreciate hearing your perspective and certainly would be interested in what you could glean from the Bible on the subject. This is an area where it is easy to refer to selected scriptures and take a predictable Christian stand, but I'm finding that understanding the whole counsel of God is difficult here. I think that how Christians answer this question makes the difference between what worldview, or as a spiritual Christian or a legalist Christian, and it therefore affects our ability to be a good witness. Non-believers tend to resist legalism, but will listen to someone who respects their right to make a decision. Some Christians are accepting that non-believers have God-given rights, while others believe everyone must get right and follow the ways of God. Of course, I believe that everyone should get right with God and honor Him in all they do. But I also think that non-believers have a free will to exercise their right to do differently, even though they will suffer the consequences of that choice. I think a good example of what he's saying was prohibition from 1919 to 1933 was brought about by Christians where it made it illegal even for unbelievers to drink alcohol. Were we right to do that in a country when we say people have inalienable rights to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? So you can see how difficult this question is to answer, especially in a few minutes. Should we do that? Should we be trying to eliminate a person's choice to have an abortion? Should we be trying to eliminate a person, an unbeliever's choice to go gambling? Should we be trying to eliminate a person's right to look at pornography? Should we be trying to eliminate a person's right to use drugs? Should we be trying to eliminate a person's right to teach evolution, secular humanism, whatever they want to teach? And so on and so forth. Should we as Christians try to eliminate unbelievers' choices to do those things, I believe, is the question. I think it was pretty well worded, and I think you got the gist of it. All right, well, what do we say? Well, I'm going to try to answer this. So, I think it comes down to, should we be involved in politics? Do we really believe in freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion? Do we really, really believe in that? Now, each nation is autonomous. Every nation on earth is autonomous. That means self-governing. I believe that's what it's talking about here in Romans 13. I've asked you to turn there. It says in verse 1, let every soul be subject under the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So, in other words, America's government is ordained of God. Canada's government is ordained of God. Mexico's government is ordained of God, etc. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Now remember, he's writing this while living under Roman tyranny. He's writing this as a Jew living in the diaspora, the dispersion under Roman tyranny. And he's saying, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That means judgment. If you resist your government, you're going to receive judgment. Now, what's the purpose of government? Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. They try to keep the peace. They try to punish criminals. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he that is the government is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Again, we see the purpose of government. Wherefore ye must be needs subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, pay your taxes also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore unto their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we have a text written to Romans, written to Gentiles, not written to Jews here, that says your government is autonomous, you need to be subject to your government. You need to live within the parameters of your government, except, of course, in times when they clearly tell you to disobey God. Because we have a lot of scriptures in the Bible that tell us we ought to obey God rather than men. And we do have good examples of good people who were civilly disobedient. The Hebrew midwives, when Pharaoh ordered in Egypt that all little boys be killed, they didn't kill the boys. They rather preserved them and kept them safe. They said, no, this is a case where the government has stepped over the line. We're not going to kill children. When they told Peter and James never to again preach in the name of Jesus Christ, they said we ought to obey God rather than men. And they continued to preach the gospel, hazarding their lives for the Lord. When the government said, that you are to bow down to this image in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when you hear all kinds of music, you are to worship this golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're sorry, we've been good citizens here in captivity in Babylon, but you crossed the line with our God, and we cannot obey. He has strictly told us, thou shalt not bow down to any false gods or worship any other gods. We're sorry. You have crossed the line, and so they ended up being thrown in a fiery furnace. The government said to Daniel in his days, no praying for 30 days. Nobody can pray to any other god. Daniel said, well, I'm sorry. I've been a good citizen here in Babylon. I've obeyed all your rules. I've had an impeccable testimony. I've been a man of integrity. But you've crossed the line, government. You've told me to disobey God by not praying to him. And so he prayed to God. And then he got thrown in the lion's den. And so there are examples and others in the scriptures. Vashti, I think, was a good example. She refused to take her clothes off for men. And she was thrown out of the kingdom as the queen, but she retained her honor. Amen? And so there's examples in the Bible where a government crosses the line. And we, the believers in God, need to say, no, we're sorry. We cannot do that. For example, today, it's legal to have abortions in America. Even though we strongly disagree with that, it's legal to have abortions in the United States of America. They've been trying to pass legislation where this must be done in religious hospitals, Catholic hospitals, for instance, and other hospitals down south, Baptist hospitals, Presbyterian hospitals, and where doctors are going to have to perform abortions contrary to their conscience. Well, these doctors need to disobey the government. when it gets to that point. And they say, no, we have to answer to an authority higher than you. In this case, you have crossed the line. But each government is autonomous. And when they pass laws that are contrary to our beliefs, we have to live within the parameters of those laws, such as in America. In 1 Peter, and I'll give you some examples here in a bit, but in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 14, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. So it's the third time we see the main purpose of government, to punish evildoers. And for the praise of them that do well. So government should be punishing evildoers, praising good people. It should be promoting morality. That is the primary function of government, according to the Word of God, is to promote morality and to punish immorality and evil. I've shown you that three times. So in that parameter of God's Word, this is how we think as believers. We think this is the purpose of government. To punish evildoers, and to praise good people, promote morality. So we must then take the Bible, what we believe, and in this case, in this subject, we must look at it from an American point of view. In most cases, we don't. But this is one case where we look at the Bible and the question today posed to us from an American point of view. So what is the American point of view? Because every government is autonomous by the authority of God. We do not live under Canada's laws here. We do not live under Mexico's laws here, but we live under the government. We believe the government we live in America, is ordained by God. And with as much liberty as they give us, we should live within the parameters of our country and our government. And they've given us a lot in this country. So what about America? I'm glad we don't have to read this in the light of Roman tyranny. But rather in America. Every one of the original 13 colonies of the United States of America wrote out a charter. Included in that charter was the mention that those colonies were formed for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you knew that or not. Didn't say Allah, didn't say Buddha, for the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., as you approach the building, you'll see the Ten Commandments etched in stone on the outside. As you go inside and go into the big oak doors going into the chambers, you'll see the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 posted on the outsides of the doors going into our Supreme Court. And then as you go into the Supreme Court and you see the nine judges there, and you look above them, you'll see the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, posted above them. What is that telling us? That is telling us that our country was designed to govern based upon the God of the Bible, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, the Ten Commandments of the Holy Bible, not the Quran, not the Zendatus, not any other kind of religious book, but that our fathers founded the country upon the Bible as a Christian nation. Our Supreme Court has decided in one case, and it has never been rescinded, that in their own words, America is a Christian nation. A plethora of quotes could be given at this time from the founding fathers of the United States of America, proving this, that they, when they talked about God, when they talked about our Creator, in the founding documents, such as the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, that they were referring to the God of the Bible, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that is the foundation of the government that is ordained by God in this country. I've been to Washington, D.C. six times. You just go there and you look at all of the monuments there and you will see scriptures from the Bible, not from the Quran, not from any other religious book, but scriptures from the Bible etched in marble all over our capital. America chose God, the God of the Bible. They refer to him in their founding documents in the second verse of the national anthem. On all of our currency, it says, "In God we trust," and the Supreme Court, as we mentioned. Therefore, because this is the government God has ordained for America, we interpret all laws and documents in the light of this. You and I must understand that there is no such thing as freedom of speech, freedom of choice, or freedom of expression to the nth degree. There is no such thing. For example, there is no freedom of choice. You cannot go out and murder someone today. You cannot go out and rape somebody today. You cannot go out and commit armed robbery today. You cannot go out and assault somebody today and then say, "But I'm an American. I have freedom of choice." Now, why can't you do these things? Because in the Bible, it says these things are wrong. And our country is a country based upon law, based upon the morals that have derived from the founding documents, which are based upon the Word of God. We have no state church in America, and we thank God for it. We have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. We do not have forced tithing in America like they have in Germany, where every German has 10% of their income taken out and given to the Roman Catholic Church or to the Lutheran Church. We don't have that, okay? But they have that. If I lived in Germany today, I would say to you, too bad. That's what our government has discerned. They're going to take your money and give it to these institutions. There's nothing you can do about it. That's what I would say to you if I was a German pastor. I'm sorry about that. Maybe we can try to change the legislation in Germany so we don't have to do that. Let's try to do that. Let's try to steer our government towards the ideal. And by the way, if you read like Dr. Williams Gray's books on the founding of America and so on and so forth, the reason our country is so great is because it is a representative republic. And the idea for our government, which is the greatest government that there has ever been in human history, a representative republic based on checks and balances, a legislative branch, an executive branch, and a judicial branch, wonderful, wonderful government. And guess where they found the idea from? From the Word of God. Based it on the Bible. And it's the greatest government ever. Thank God we don't live under kings or tyrants. Did you ever read the history of the kings in the Bible? Did you ever read it through once? Man, you get a guy like Manasseh in there for 52 years, and you couldn't replace him until he died. And he was extremely evil, wicked, and intolerant, and just killed people. You know, in China, they average about 8,000 political prisoners killed every year over there. We're blessed. But we don't have freedom of choice here. You can't murder somebody today. We don't have freedom of speech. You cannot go into a crowded theater and start screaming, "Fire!" You can't do it. You can, but you'll be arrested. And you'll be arrested for disturbing the peace and inciting a hazardous situation, be put in jail. You can't walk into a church and just start screaming out profanities. It's against the law in this country. You can't slander people in this country. You can, but you're not supposed to. You can't be libelous. You can go to jail for being libelous by making up things about somebody that's not true. And saying them. We don't have freedom of speech. Now, why is libel and slander and profanity and obscenity supposed to be illegal? Why? Because we have a government that was based on the Bible. And the Bible influenced what kind of speech we can use, what kind of speech we cannot use in this country. We do not have freedom of expression in America. You can't run down Route 62 naked this afternoon because you want to express yourself that way. You can't do it. You can't paint graffiti on your next door neighbor's house. You just felt like expressing yourself. There is not freedom of expression. Now, because there's certain laws that say we have freedom of expression in America except in these areas. And they are, those areas, listen, this is my point, those areas are all governing morality. They're all governing morality. Now then, we feel the same way about abortion, evolution, gambling, pornography, alcohol, drugs, homosexuality, as believers as we do about murder, rape, armed robbery, assault, and so on. We believe that our government is set up by God, His authority, so that these types of speech and expression and choice should not be permitted because they're wrong against the scriptures. And we have a precedent to govern morality by all the laws that do govern morality. Almost every law governs some kind of morality. 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. They are governing your morality. They are affecting your personal behavior. They're saying you must drive between these double yellow lines and this white line at 55 miles an hour, however safe it is, and they are governing your morality. They are telling you what you can do and what you can't do. Almost every law governs morality. And you hear people say, well, you can't legislate morality. All laws legislate morality. And because of that, technically, we don't believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion, or freedom of choice. And I've given you examples under all three categories where we don't believe in it. And so, we believe the original framers of the Constitution felt the same way about some of these things that have become. 1973, abortion became legal. And then after the 1920s, they began to teach evolution in the schools. And now we see gambling and gambling casinos and obscene pornography and things like that and legalized sodomy. And we believe that those that have made these laws have overstepped their bounds according to the authority of God's word and according to the autonomous government that we live in the United States of America. We believe Christianity should correct behaviors and bring about social reforms. We see that Jonah and the revival in Nineveh and Nehemiah and Ezra and their reformations in amongst the captivity in Israel. We believe our Lord has taught us to pray continually, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We believe that's how we should pray, how we should live, and what we should desire. Lord, thy will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. We don't have complete freedom of expression, speech, or religion. You can't shoot heroin into your veins because it's part of your religion. You can't burn witches. because you think it's wrong for a person to be involved in witchcraft. You can't be a polygamist in our country because you think it's okay to have more than one wife. We don't have freedom of religion. These are examples. I've given you examples in every case where we have legislated certain types of behavior to be wrong, to be impermissible in our country. Therefore, why should we not continue to try to legislate and affect our country in other areas? And as long as God has given us the freedom, why should we not try to affect legislation by prayer, by writing letters, by voting, by speeches, by lobbying, by making phone calls? We have this liberty. Our government has granted us this liberty. Our government has said, yes, you can do that. You can make phone calls to Washington, to Albany. You can write editorials. You can make speeches. You can pray. You can lobby. You can write letters. Our government has said you can do that. We want to hear from you. Why should we not then do that? So the question is, should we say to the abortionists, we believe in freedom of choice, except in your case, we don't think you should have that right? Should we say that? I think we should. I think we should. You know, if I was a missionary or a pastor in some heathen pagan nation that always did that, and so on and so forth, I would probably still try to pray or try to change the country. But in America, I believe some of those choices should be eliminated. And I believe we ought to work that way. And I believe what I'm saying also conforms to the scriptures, as you'll hear in the next sermon. I believe we are responsible for our nation. And let me just read some scriptures. I got to read real fast, but let these sink in. What I've just said, I believe we have a biblical basis. For instance, in Matthew 5 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of man. You are the light of the world. Salt is used to preserve and to keep something from rotting. We are the salt of the earth. Psalms 33 verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. Proverbs 13, 34. There is no Proverbs 13, 34. Let me go to the next one. Oh, 14. I'm sorry, I got the wrong chapter. 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach on any people. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You see these principles that are being taught here? Political principles, governmental principles. When the righteous are in authority. So seeing we have the freedom to try to get the righteous in authority, what should we do with it? We should try to get the righteous in authority. We should try to get the wicked out. Verse number 16, Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Here's a generality the Lord gave Jeremiah. He said in verse chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. That's just to nations in general right here. Any nation that wants to, when I pronounce judgment, if those people will turn, then I'll turn from the evil that I wanted to do, that I was going to do to them. I have time. Should Christians stand up? Think about Abraham, who went to Sodom and Gomorrah and stood before the Lord and prayed. Said, "Dear God, if there's 50 in there, will you save it for 50 righteous people?" And the Lord said, "I'll save it." And then 45, and then 40, and then 30, and then 10. Notice, Abraham was trying to influence the outcome of judgment to those people. And what about other religions? We need to be responsible for our nation. What about other religions? You say, well, we got freedom of religion in America. We got Hindus and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims and so on and so forth. And that's true. But again, I go back to the founding documents. You know, are we going to be a country that follows their founding documents? Or are we just going to cash it in and just say, we're diverse? All right? No Christian is ever intolerant of somebody else's beliefs. We don't kill them. We don't arrest them. The Bible says, you know, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. But we have many examples, and our time's up here. Paul on Mars Hill contended with those who served the Greek gods in his day. He stood right in front of him and said, you're wrong. Elijah contended with the prophets of Baal. Stood right in front of him and said, you're wrong. Jesus contended with the Judaizers and the circumcision of the day. And he contended with them. There's other examples and so on. So I think we should contend against false religions. And I believe we ought to contend for righteousness in a country. As these scriptures have said, we do legislate choice in our country. I'm glad we do. I'm glad the bad guys are in prison today because we have legislated morality. We said, you do this, you do this, you do this, you're going away. I'm glad we legislate morality. I'm glad we limit freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom of expression, and freedom of religion. I'm glad we have limits on those things in our country, America, based on the Bible, based on the morals of the Bible. And I believe we ought to correct other things and try to legislate and correct other things that are wrong. For example, I believe it was biblical Christianity that corrected slavery in America. Biblical Christianity said, hey, we shouldn't allow this in our country. This is wrong, the slave trade. Biblical Christianity corrected that, and I believe biblical Christianity ought to correct this gambling mess, and this pornography mess, and this abortion mess, and this drug mess, and so on and so forth. I'm not saying we will, but I'm saying we should try to. Let's pray. Father, help us to be the salt and the light of the earth, and Lord, help us to understand that we have not been granted by God or by the government of America the right to do anything. We have limits, good moral limits, on speech, expression, choice, religion. But Lord, our country and our people have strayed and have begun to allow things that you disapprove of. These things have been corrected in the past by Christians. Our country has been bettered because of it. Help us to do the same. Help us to use every God-given liberty you've got given us to influence legislation, to run for offices, to pray, to write letters, to make speeches, to write editorials, and to try to preserve this nation that we will be responsible for. Now, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God to move in a mighty way in our next service, in our children's church today, in Jesus' name, amen.